Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, the risen Christ. Amen. There are certain things that we share with every other human being. Necessities like food, water, breathable air, and shelter. No matter what culture in which you live or what generation in which you are born, we share these with all other people. Of those four things, there is one that commands, it seems, more of our attention than others, and that is the daily preparation and consuming of food. I think that for the most part, we take for granted those others, the clean air and clean water and shelter. We pay attention, but not nearly like the time we devote every day, a few times a day, to the eating of food. What parent of a teenager is not sick of the question, what's to eat? And that's particularly discouraging after a nourishing meal and the chairs are hardly pushed back before someone says, what's to eat? May I suggest, however, that that question, this day, maybe only for this hour, is just a terrific question that portends for us all the promise of the resurrection. It is a question, an important question, that Jesus asks of his disciples. We are 14 days removed from the celebration of Easter morning. But our reading for today from Luke happens only a few hours after Easter morning. In Luke's telling of the Easter story, Peter and the women are amazed at what has happened at the tomb that morning, but Luke records no appearances to the women. He does tell a story about two followers. He calls them disciples. They are not some of the original 11 or 12 disciples. Two followers who are on their way to Emmaus, a village about 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they are walking to Emmaus, Jesus himself comes and joins them in their walk, but they are kept from recognizing him. They have this long talk on this long walk, and Jesus opens up all the scriptures about himself to them. They still do not recognize the risen Jesus. It is getting late. They invite him to their home for supper and to stay overnight because it is getting dark. And it is finally when Jesus takes bread, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it to them, that they finally recognize him. What's to eat? And then he vanishes. These two followers are so excited about this revelation that they decide that even in the dark, they're going to return to Jerusalem 7 miles away. If they can walk at the relatively brisk pace of 3.5 miles an hour, it will take them 2 hours to get back in the dark to Jerusalem and find the 10 or 11 disciples, certainly without Judas, likely without Thomas, who are gathered together in Jerusalem. We believe that they are in an upper room locked for fear of the Jews, we read in a different gospel story. The two Emmaus followers are recounting this remarkable episode with Jesus when all of a sudden Jesus stands among them. Now, that would be startling in any case, that we have locked ourselves for safety against the world, and all of a sudden this extra person shows up, and this one is supposed to be dead. The first thing that Jesus says to his disciples is, peace be with you. Now, I imagine he could have chosen other words. Outside of the disciple John, who tended to Jesus from the foot of the cross with his mother Mary, the last time Jesus would have seen most or all of these disciples would have been in the Garden of Gethsemane on Thursday night at his arrest. In my darker moments, thinking about the disciples, I could imagine Jesus saying something like, where you been, boys? Could have used a little help on Friday. But that isn't what Jesus says. Instead, he offers them his greatest blessings. Peace be to you. And then we have this whirlwind of activity. The disciples are frightened and they think they are seeing a ghost. And so Jesus tries to allay their fears by telling them that he has flesh and bones. He is not a ghost. Now we might join in the disciples' confusion. How in the world did this thing with flesh and bones get through a locked, solid door? Jesus goes further. Touch me and see. See that it is I myself. While the fear is lessening, it appears, because Luke writes that the disciples are in joy, but while in joy, at the same time, they are still disbelieving and still wondering. Jesus offers them the clincher. What's to eat? And they give him a piece of fish, and he eats it. Here's where my finite mind parts with logic. How is it that this flesh and bones person is able to materialize through a locked, solid door and then can still eat fish? Why didn't the fish just drop right through and hit the floor? But that is part of the miracle, the promise of the resurrection. Jesus is not some ghost. He is not a 21st century hologram. He's not a first century or a 31st century time-traveling apparition. Jesus is real. Touch me and see, he says, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as I have. Or we could appeal to the piece of art that Pastor Anjanette brought to us last week, with Thomas actually sticking his finger into the hole of Jesus' side caused by the spear at the resurrection. Or we could think about the fish itself. Peace be with you. You need not fear me. You need not fear what is on the other side. What's to eat? Implicit in this resurrection appearance, and implicit in another resurrection appearance, this one in John, in which Jesus prepares a shore breakfast for his disciples. We can assume that they eat that shore breakfast together. Implicit in all of these stories is the fact that we too, with our resurrected bodies, will be able to see and be seen, to touch and be touched, to eat and have our stomachs filled with good things. What's to eat? That Jesus comes to us this day, snowy day, but really every day, to fill us with great things. Some of those things may be the things of this world, maybe a piece of broiled fish that you will share with someone else today. But Jesus comes to fill us with other things as well. In that Emmaus story, just preceding our text for this day, when the two followers' eyes are opened and they recognize Jesus, the risen Jesus, they say to themselves, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening up the scriptures to us?" That continues just a couple of hours later in that upper room in Jerusalem. Jesus talking to his disciples about everything fulfilled about him in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And Luke writes, "Then he opened up their minds to understand the scriptures." Almost an exact quote of what Jesus did for the disciples in Emmaus. You have come here this morning. Thank you for braving snow and ice and cold in January. We are grateful that you are here to have your minds opened to the understanding of the scriptures. No matter how many times that we read these stories, there is something new, there is a new discovery, there's new excitement about the resurrected Jesus. Jesus also comes to fill with the Holy Spirit. If we had added one verse, That is verse 49 out of Luke 24 to our lection for today. We would have read Jesus say to his disciples, "And I have come to give you what the Father has promised. Stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." We believe that that promise is fulfilled 50 days after Easter. In our calendar this year, 2018, 36 days from now, we call it Pentecost. The disciples were to stay in the city until they were clothed with power from on high, until they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus continues to fill in so many ways. One more, not in our biblical texts for this day, but one that I cannot ignore, because there is bread and there is wine on the altar. It is a meal that we eat frequently to remind ourselves of one who loved us so much that he would come to give his body and his blood for us, for you. What's to eat? Fish, the scriptures, the Holy Spirit, the holy meal, all of them together, we are blessed. And we are to proclaim that name to all the nations. Amen. Hymn 515, please.